Welcome to SCOTUS Cast. Does a plaintiff need to prove lost causation edition? Thank you for tuning in. On June 6, 2011, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Erica P. John Fund v. Halliburton. The question in this case was whether securities fraud plaintiffs must prove that the defendant's deceptive conduct caused their claimed economic loss in order to be certified as a class. In an opinion delivered by Chief Justice Roberts, the court held unanimously that securities fraud plaintiffs do not need to prove that the defendant's deceptive conduct caused their claimed economic loss in order to be certified as a class. To discuss the case, we have Adam C. Pritchard, who is a professor at the University of Michigan Law School. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Pritchard.
This is Adam Pritchard. I teach securities law at the University of Michigan, and I'm going to talk today about the Erica P. John Fund versus Halliburton Company decision that the Supreme Court handed down on June 6th. The Halliburton case involves a garden variety securities fraud claim asserting misrepresentations by Halliburton that the plaintiffs claimed inflated the value of its stock price. The issue that the Supreme Court was deciding was, are the plaintiffs required to prove loss causation at the class certification stage? Loss causation is a technical concept in the securities laws. The requirement is that plaintiffs need to prove that the decline in Halliburton's stock was because of the correction to a prior misleading statement, and that the subsequent loss that they incurred could not otherwise be explained by some additional factors revealed then to the market. So basically, tying their losses to the prior misrepresentation. The background to the Halliburton decision comes from the Supreme Court's decision in 2005 in Dura Pharmaceuticals, in which the court held that loss causation is an element of the 10b-5 claim for securities fraud, and that plaintiff is required to both plead and prove the element of loss causation. The question that was not resolved by Dura Pharmaceuticals was, the plaintiffs need to prove loss causation, but when? And in the lower court, the Fifth Circuit in this case, the Fifth Circuit had held that plaintiffs need to prove loss causation at the class certification stage. Their rationale for that was that loss causation was needed to be shown in order to invoke the fraud on the market presumption from Basic versus Levinson, a Supreme Court decision from 1987. The Basic decision allows plaintiffs to show reliance by showing that material misstatements were publicly made and that those statements were incorporated into the price of the stock. If the plaintiffs can show that, they create a presumption under Basic of reliance on those misstatements. The importance of the Basic presumption is that it converts reliance into a common question of fact, which allows plaintiffs to certify a class under Rule 23 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. And the Halliburton decision in the Fifth Circuit, court said there that the plaintiffs have to show loss causation in order to invoke that presumption of reliance. The importance of the Fifth Circuit decision relates to the timing. So plaintiffs were going to have to show loss causation at some point, but requiring them to show it at the class certification stage substantially reduces the pressure on the defendants to settle. If the issue of loss causation has to wait until summary judgment or trial, defendants may settle rather than incur the costs of discovery. So that's how the case reached the Supreme Court. The holding of the Supreme Court is quite straightforward. The Fifth Circuit erred in requiring proof of loss causation at the class certification stage. Chief Justice Roberts wrote the opinion for the court and the court was unanimous on this point. So the reasoning is relatively straightforward in Chief Justice Roberts' decision. Loss causation is a separate element from the reliance element. The opinion describes the reliance element as transaction causation. And the gist of the court's opinion is captured by this money paragraph. The rule of the Fifth Circuit contravenes BASIC's fundamental premise that an investor presumptively relies on a misrepresentation so long as it was reflected in the market price at the time of his transaction. The fact that a subsequent loss may have been caused by factors other than the revelation of a misrepresentation has nothing to do with whether an investor relied on the misrepresentation in the first place, either directly or presumptively through the fraud on the market theory. Loss causation has no logical connection to the facts necessary to establish the efficient market predicate to the fraud on the market theory. So in other words, transaction and causation and loss causation occur at different points in time, and only the former needs to be shown for class certification according to the Supreme Court. The court doesn't get into this, but implicit in the holding is that loss causation, by its very nature, is a common question of fact. Was the effect of the initial misrepresentation on the market subsequently undone? This can only be shown by showing a market impact at the time of the loss claimed by the plaintiff. What are the implications of the Halliburton decision? Well, at its simplest level, this is a fairly narrow holding, simply error correction. The Fifth Circuit was conflating elements of reliance and loss causation. Three other circuits that had addressed this issue had all come out the other way. The Fifth Circuit simply got it wrong. However, the court did leave the door open to a requirement that the plaintiff show price impact in order to certify a class. And according to the court, price impact simply refers to the effect of a misrepresentation on a stock's price. The question that's left open by this reasoning from the court is whether that price impact is simply the same as materiality in this context. And this was sent back to the Fifth Circuit to grapple with that issue. Halliburton is the second of three securities law decisions from this term. The three is significant. The court is hearing more securities law cases than the Rehnquist court did prior to it. However, if you look at the decisions that are being handed down, there's no real evidence of an agenda. Matrix, the first decision from this term, and Halliburton are both victories for the plaintiffs, but they are on pretty narrow issues. Neither decision reshapes securities class practice in any important way. Halliburton offered an opportunity for an aggressive court to rethink BASIC's fraud on the market presumption of reliance, which was poorly conceived at the time it was adopted back in the 80s and leads to perverse policy outcomes, but the court showed no interest in tackling that issue.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.